This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and you're listening to Fire on the Earth. We're here again today with Monica Pope. Monica's been our guest all week, and if you haven't had a chance to hear her story this week, go to our website at renewalministries.net. You'll be really glad you did. Monica's the director of catechesis at St. Thomas Parish here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Very dynamic teacher and leader in the area. She's a happily married mother of 10 and amazing family as well. I'm going to talk today a little bit with Monica about really the work that she's doing and how the Lord led her from the place of knowing nothing to really being passionate, discovering the gift that God's given her as a teacher and a catechist, and how that's unfolding today. Welcome, Monica.
Hi, Peter. Good
morning.
Great
to have you back.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for spending all this time with us.
I'm happy to.
Yeah, so you ended yesterday by saying you're in your parish in Dundee, and the pastor said, hey, we need somebody to teach third grade catechesis. And, well, I might as well give it a shot, sort of. And you experienced God using you, and that sort of began the whole process.
Mm-hmm. And so when I think of it now, that was, I mean, that's 26 years ago. Besides a couple of difficult baby years, like, you know, babies being born, even those, I was going to say there's probably not been too many years, maybe three out of the last 26, where I wasn't a catechist in a parish. I found it to be life-giving, and I recognized that I had a way to tell the story of God. So also then, 25 years ago, catechesis was pretty, it was suffering badly in parishes. There was no concrete, formal language to the faith. We were doing a lot of experiential stuff, none of which is bad, but it was pretty vague. So I had spent a lot of years at my mother's knee studying St. Joseph's Baltimore Catechism. So the question and answer, that catechetical formulaic thing, I had that. That was still in my head. And I recognized the value of that. But I was able to bring the living God to it. There's a real story. There's a real, that we're in, that this moment is part of the story, not some vague memory. And so I recognize that God is doing something here with the way that I teach. The other story, facet of this experience that I couldn't deny is his mercy. Oh, which, by the way, I mean, I'm pretty thrilled to be on the radio here in the Jubilee Year of Mercy. This is great. What is his mercy? What he will do to find us, what he did, and his patience, which is part of his mercy. So I recognize that something's happening here. Catechism of the Catholic Church, somebody puts it in my hands in 1995 or 96. I was astonished.
It is beautiful. It's really something. Yeah.
I couldn't put it down. I look back and the next 2 years were just immersed in learning. One of the great graces of that time was that I recognized that the church says the story of God in the most extraordinary and beautiful way, and I don't need to improve on it. Now, I had come from that sort of separatist, very fearful, we can't rely on the church and on parishes, and we can't trust them, and that there are a few of us. You know, the word remnant was real big when I was growing up. There are a few of us that are like holding on to this truth and keeping the light lit. I read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I recognized with great and utter relief that is not true. The church teaches truth and teaches it well. And so all we need to do is to go to the church and to say, show me the words. I will use those because they're already there. Show me how to say this. And so I just felt, I think the next 2 years, I was just immersed in just learning more all the time with great relief. We came up to Ann Arbor, to St. Thomas the Apostle Parish, 13 years ago. My kids were playing bagpipe and Scottish snare drum in the Ann Arbor Pipes and Drums at the time. So what we were looking for, and they'd practice at an Episcopalian church in Ann Arbor on Sundays. So what we were looking for was a mass time that correlated with their practice start time. So we could go to mass and then just drop them off at practice. So the mass time was St. Thomas, noon mass. It was the next time in my life that I felt like I walked into a place, or that I was in an environment that was my spiritual home. The last time that had happened was at St. Benedict's with the Benedictines in Massachusetts, where my mother used to take us. And I came to St. Thomas and I felt like I was home. And so I started to be a catechist there. And they asked me to help to recreate the confirmation program there. And that was probably about 9 years ago. So we were living in Dundee and we're still struggling for money. We've never not only had one can of beans ever. That's only happened to me one time. But the Pope family, money's always been, finances have always been an issue. My daughter Naomi was born and my husband was underemployed, and I took a job as a director of catechesis in Monroe. I interviewed on the phone. It was October, so the pastor was sort of desperate. I called him up and said, look, my friend told me that you're looking for a director of catechesis. Let me tell you why you should hire me. Now, that guy, Father Jack, he and I are still friends today. I love that man. Talk about what a leap of faith. There's this woman on the phone, but we're talking, and it sounds right. And so I was with St. John the Baptist in Monroe for a couple of years, and St. Thomas called me. It's my parish. Well, I said, look, I already have a job. And the business manager said, Monica, this is your home. So what am I going to do? Say no.
St. Thomas called you and said, yeah, come on. Why don't you work at your home?
Come home. So I did. And I've been there for 7 years. And it's an utter privilege to have the job that I have. When people say to me things like, wow, you're here a lot. And I do. I'm there at crazy hours and a lot of hours. I mean it sincerely when I say I have the best job in town. I think I have the most privileged job in town. Real people's lives change right in front of me, and they tell me about it, and I get to experience it with them in some ways. It's amazing.
We have just like 5 minutes left in the show. I want to make sure if our friends are listening can hear this, what you're doing with the specially abled, not the disabled, but the specially abled. Yeah.
So my daughter Naomi is 9.5 years old. She's our 10th child. And when they handed her to us when she was born, I said to my husband, oh, she has Down syndrome. And he said, yeah, she does. And the room cleared out and people were worried and afraid and didn't know what to think to say to us. And one of the nurses started to cry. And we said, no, this is good. Look at her. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And within just a couple of hours, Tracy and I knew that something new was going to happen here. I started to catechize people with developmental disabilities. And I know in the educational sense, they call them disabled. For us in ministry, we have in the church, and we have to see that they are specially abled. They have a special ability to do something that I can only hope to attain, maybe even in heaven. Their openness, right down to the very person that I have known, each of these persons' openness to love, to be loved and to express love is breathtaking. And so sure, we have to work through, newness, but once the newness, once familiarity begins, love pours out.
So how do you?
How could this not be my favorite thing to do?
Yeah, so you actually catechize them?
Yes.
And they get confirmed and all that? How does that
Our all first, you know, my first big experience was that we had a group that had gone through with one of our catechists. They had received First Eucharist. Now they were all older, a bunch of teens and young adults. And I have no training. I have instinct. I really do. I've got strong instinct and the Holy Spirit for sure, which I think is the other name for the instinct. And we catechized them, and we had a group of six teens and young adults confirmed a few years ago. The new project, though, today is a group that is called the Jacintas, because she's my favorite blessed, and I pray that she's will be canonized someday, is Blessed Jacinta. We have a small group of girls with Down syndrome, tweens and teens who are coming together once a month with typically abled young adult women as helpers. And we are getting together with these girls and teaching them to serve the church by doing sacristy work and cleaning up the church and dusting and cleaning. And we'll pray together. We'll have, we will go to vigil mass together, have a meal together after mass. If the priests are available on these Saturday afternoons once a month, and the girls will have their confessions heard. And so one of the church is always looking for ways to better serve our specially abled. One of the best ways to serve our specially abled brothers and sisters in Christ is to give them an opportunity and teach them to serve the church. Mm. We're just getting started. We've got a small group of girls. We've got a lot more women who are interested in being the Jacinta partners. I'm very, very excited. And I think moving into the 100th anniversary of the Fatima apparitions, I feel that the Blessed Mother is really blessing this endeavor and really smiling.
So great. Monica, how could, if people are listening and said, boy, I have a Down syndrome child or a relative or something, I'd like to know more about what you're doing and put my own parish in touch with it.
Yes.
How can they reach you at the parish?
Okay. So, you know, St. Thomas, we're on the web. If you Google St. Thomas, you're going to come up with a great island escape vacation.
Right.
But you want to Google St. Thomas Ann Arbor. On our webpage, there is my email address and my phone number. I love to answer these questions. I would love for our Jacintas to start at St. Thomas at the same time it's happening, beginning in four other parishes. I would love, that would thrill me to no end other people were doing this too. Yeah.
Well, Monica, thank you so much. We could probably do 2-3 more weeks with you on all kinds of things, but thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, sharing your story. And friends, I hope if you've listened to the program this week, you can go away saying, there's hope for me. No matter where you are, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're up against, no matter what your history is. And Monica's great story is, our history does not determine our destiny. God does.
Amen.
Jesus Christ does. And he wants to determine your destiny if you give him permission, because he loves you and his plans for you are good. Open your heart to him and receive it. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.